Welcome to the Doghouse. It's Mystery Tuesday on the Doghouse. We're going to start off with a mystery, which is maybe going to have an interesting ending to it, but I like maybe not. Yeah.
Like Midsummer Murders.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. It's especially a mystery where it doesn't make sense, or maybe it does, or maybe it makes sense.
The real mystery is how we lasted this long.
Okay.
That's not a mystery. That's a stumbling mistake.
That's a mistake. That was a rounding error.
Yes.
I mean, is it like Scooby-Doo mysteries where we're expecting there to be like a bad guy dressed up as another bad guy?
There could be. That's actually interesting.
Or is it like Midsummer Murders where people are going to keep dying during this?
No. I think probably more the first, but you guys can decide. It's all going to be a matter of, you know, what your view is on it. But it's sort of interesting. It was interesting and curious, and how it's going to end is going to be it's part of the mystery. So
how is ending it?
What would you say?
How he's ending it?
How it ends. How it ends.
Oh, I thought you said how he ends it. I'm sorry.
I thought the same thing.
To the best of my knowledge, there is no Howie in this story.
Okay. It'd be hard for him to end it then.
Yes, that's very difficult for him.
But that would be like a Mr. Wong or a Charlie Chan or a. Who's this thin man? What's his name in the Thin Man? Where they just introduce villains at the very end.
Who was the guy
nobody knows about? And you could have your like mystery, and then at the end be like, how he ended it? And be like, there was no Howie in the book. Those are so frustrating. I just want to throw things. That's why that movie I think it's 1976, Murder by Death is one of the best movies because they talk about it. It's great.
Okay. Well, nobody dies in this story, at least initially. I can't promise that's going to continue, though.
That's just not right.
Okay.
All mysteries have a murder involved.
So two out of three people in the doghouse want to see somebody die in my story.
Okay.
I mean, I can create a person to die.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what your story is, but it's starting to kill me.
Okay, so let me get
how. No, Howie died. That's why there's no Howie in the story.
No.
All right, go ahead.
There is no Howie in the story. Okay.
Because he's dead.
So I think probably most of our fans would know, if you're a true follower of MotoGP, will know that the reward to Alex Marquez for coming in second place and, you know, basically winning the independent team championship for them and all that was that he's going to get a factory spec 2026 bike. Is everybody aware of that?
I saw nothing in writing,
but it's been banned.
It's been announced. Ducati's confirmed it. I mean, it came from Ducati, the story anyway.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So that's just a little bit of the groundwork to going into the story. So Ducati went to Marc Marquez and said, okay, look, we have three engine configuration choices for 2026. We're trying to decide amongst, and each one's got its own advantages and disadvantages. Okay. And the three choices are, if I recall it correctly, would be the 2024 motor, basically that configuration with some modifications, software modifications to it. No structural modifications from that. The next would be the 2025 motor, and the third choice would be the 2026 development motor. And he, you know, and there are, again, like I said, there's advantages and disadvantages to each. So they went to Marquez, and you know, Marquez, what? Hey, look, you won the championship, and it has been their practice in Ducati that when they have a situation like this going into preseason testing, it's not necessarily the way things are going to end at the end of it. We allow the champion to choose which of the engine specs will be the engine spec.
I want to ask a question because I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
Is he choosing for his bike or for the whole team?
For the team.
Yeah. Okay.
As a starting, it's only a starting point. It's only a starting point. They're only going to run one engine configuration, meaning it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter whether it
Bagnaia,
was
for Bagnaia gets no say at all. I don't know why he doesn't do well.
They already had announced that Pecco Bagnaia's bike will have one less cylinder, so we don't even need to have that discussion. Okay.
Marquez is like, we got to take those two engines there and give him the blown up ones. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to continue the story. So, so they went to Marquez with that, and Marquez said, I don't want to make the decision. I'm giving my proxy for the decision to Pecco and to Alex.
Ooh.
And that was his response.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I thought, so, hey, that's a little weird.
I will win the championship with whatever they give me.
It could be brought. Yeah, it could be. It could be some of that. The other part of it, some people would look at it and say, okay, look, clearly you put him, potentially you put a factory spec bike on his brother. Would that be enough for him to be a true competition to Mark Marquez?
Would he be a contender?
Yeah. He was a contender this year. So, but
it's only the motor.
Not really.
Well, that's right. It's only the motor. Let's continue. Motor. But it's the biggest decision they make preseason. Okay. No. Because the chassis development is pretty much done. It's already baked in the cake. Mm-hmm. Okay. Except for Pecco, who gets to run the 1965 configuration. But anyway. Yeah.
Right? Pecco, who's running a super sport bike for Moto America. But
So that's how it was left, which is really weird. They've never had anybody do that, right? Because usually they'll sit down and say, okay, what's the advantage to me? You know, some have higher RPMs, so you have lower torque. There's a bunch of different things that go into what the advantages and disadvantages of different motors are. He said, no, I don't want to make the decision. I'm basically passing it on to Pecco and Alex.
So my takeaway from that is that
we're not done yet. There's more.
Okay.
There's more.
Go on.
So it went back to I can't think of his name.
Well, hey, do you mind if I hum the Midsummer Murders theme song in the background
you can if you like. But anyway, so Ducati then came back and said, no, we're not going to let you do that. They're trying to force Mark Marquez to make the decision, to make the choice.
They have to. I mean, that's logical.
They can, but he could refuse potentially. He could just say, I don't know. Fine. You want me to do that? I'll flip a coin. Right. Yep. Or I'll roll dice, whatever he could say. It doesn't matter because I'm the greatest. Right. So you don't know what that's going to lead to, but they're insisting that he make the decision. And that's where it was left off at the end of last week, that Ducati is insisting that Mark Marquez make this decision. They're not going to allow Alex. And I imagine they probably have so little confidence in a decision that Pecco would make. They don't want him making it.
Well,
right?
It's a PR thing too.
How so?
Well, okay. First off, Bad for Business have two losers pick the engine. Okay. One of the two of them wins the championship, which I doubt, but if one of the two of them wins the championship, it all goes back to, well, they picked the motor and that's why they beat them. Two is, if he doesn't pick it and he wins, then that shows that they're giving him a lot of extra other stuff.
Possibly.
Right? So they are like, hey, you got to pick this. Right?
So you're saying Ducati's point is that no matter what, we're going to lose in this equation if you don't pick it.
The only way they win is him picking a motor.
Yeah. So now here's the – okay, so where's the mystery in all this?
If he flips the coin, they're okay. Because they're all
still his choice. It's still his choice. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. The question is, the question and where the mystery comes into play in here is, why did Mark Marquez take that view?
Because he knows he's going to win without it, because he knows he has the better team, the better engineers, the better everything.
The motor's not built by the team.
Right. Right.
The motor's built. That's
the whole point.
But he doesn't get an advantage from the better engineers.
He doesn't get an advantage on the motor at all. That's Marquez's point.
He thinks he's going to beat you with other advantages.
He gets all the other advantages.
Okay. Well, that's one take on it.
Right.
He's so arguably the best rider on the circuit too.
That's a bigger one. I could see, just knowing how, you know, kind of full of themselves that racers are in general, they feel like, you know, that's fine. I could, you know, you could take my throttle away from me and I'll still beat everybody. I mean, they just have this, I'm just that much better than everybody else view of the world.
It's one of two things, mm-hmm. right? It's either he knows that he's getting the best of everything else, everything that's in the team's control,
mm-hmm.
right? Or he's tired of he listens to this show and is tired of my whining. And like, I believe in the Bible, it says, take what you win, run what you wrong, right? You know, the old dirt track date kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But yeah,
Ducati, it's a nightmare if he doesn't pick.
I think Ducati would really like to have, you know, the factory team come in 1-2. I believe that's what they want, and they'd be foolish not to.
No, yeah,
that's what they want,
and that hasn't happened for 2 years.
Right, and it hasn't happened for 2 years. So, the whether they're crippling Bagnaia behind the scenes or not. I know that's your view, Phil, I disagree.
All right. Okay. Again, mm-hmm. the skeptic in me is if I'm Ducati, right? I got this expensive racing program. I got teams buying engines and bikes off me. If my factory team is one, my first satellite team with the spec motor is 2, and my factory other guy is 3. A, I sweep the podium. B, I make that engine that I can sell to the other teams way more valuable.
Which they've done for 2 years in a row.
Right. And I build like what do we see when we look at the field? 90% of the bikes, or at least it feels like right now, are Ducatis. And you get that by running the podium and by them saying, well, I'm going to get a much better engine. So you only get a much better engine if the satellite teams are competitive.
Well, then that would make an argument for allowing Alex to pick.
No, they can't let Alex pick.
Why?
That's just because of what I said before.
Okay, but the second argument you made, it does give an advantage, right? If you want him to be faster than Pecco.
That's not what I was just arguing. You said teams want to be 1-2 and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said maybe they want to be 1-3 with a 2 being their satellite team. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they want to be 1-2 and the satellite be 3.
Yeah, or 1-2-3 with 2 being the satellite team makes their we're going to give you a package deal. You're going to pay us this much money more valuable.
I don't think Ducati cares because there's so many people out there that want to run their bikes.
Right. I don't think they care.
They don't need it.
Yeah, but
Phil, you know, wants Bagnaia to pick the engine so he can have the advantage this year.
He won't.
No, I agree. I don't think he will anyways, but for different reasons than you, Phil.
Yeah. Well, I think here's the thing with picking the motors and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it's a publicity nightmare if Marquez doesn't do it. That's why. Just too many. Anything happens during the season, too many publicity nightmares.
Well, there's a way around it.
As far as selling motors and team, you know, teams coming and go, I want to switch from the KTM to the Ducati because I want to be competitive and all that stuff. You can say everything was last year, but 5 years ago, everybody was Yamaha and there were 6 KTMs. And 10 years ago, everybody wanted to be on the Honda, right? So you go where there's money and you go where it wins.
I think you're talking about money that's insignificant.
I don't think that's all that insignificant of money.
It is.
And across
at that level, it probably isn't.
No, because you think I have a factory sponsored race team. I mean, I have a satellite team with Ducati. I sell a shirt of my guy on a Ducati. Ducati makes money. I have a hat with my guy on a Ducati. Ducati makes money. You're thinking, oh, it's $5 million to buy this Ducati motor. I'm thinking it's $5 million for that. It's not $5 million.
It's not $5 million to buy a Ducati motor.
Whatever, right? Whatever the number is. The number doesn't matter. But there's all this other stuff. Every stupid flag, every stupid, you know, thing.
But that's an argument, Phil, that's an argument you want all the Ducatis to do well and finish as high as you'd like to take the top 10. You'd like to take the top 10 because by that argument, that's the number one goal would be to do that, right? Because, I don't think
you want to keep as many people coming to Ducati.
I don't think the reason that you want to be 1-2 is because of sponsorship money. Okay, you're going to get a lot better sponsorship money if you're getting you lock up first and second place. And to think that they don't want Pecco to come in second, I think is I see no logic in that whatsoever.
I'm not saying on the outside they don't want it. I'm just saying it's not a big deal if he's in third. And Alex is in second.
I don't think so. I'm sure they're probably pretty unhappy. That
I'll
he
tell
didn't
you right
make,
now,
he,
I
he
guarantee
get the top
Alex
three.
Sells 3-1 t-shirts on Bagnaia.
Oh yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Right. That wouldn't surprise me.
And that's we always think about what the contract is. You know, that contract money in almost all sports is very little compared to merchandising. Very little.
I don't know. But the point is the way Ducati can get around it is not to give that choice. They can make the decision at headquarters on which motor spec they're
going. No, because that's a terrible idea.
All the other teams do it. Ducati's the only team that does that.
And that's why they're probably terrible winning. They let the racers figure out what the best butt rider.
Honda never gave that choice to Mark Marquez when he was at HRC. The only choice they gave Marquez when he was at HRC is how far would you like to fly this season?
Yeah.
That was a couple of years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That, but I think Ducati, that is probably one of the reasons that they do so well is they let the riders have more choices in what's going on.
No, riders are idiots.
For the most part, I agree with
that. No, wait a minute. You can't say that and then say that the heat.
Warren, do you ride?
Occasionally.
Case in point. All right. let's, riders aren't engineers, right? Riders can give you feedback. I would let a rider give me feedback and I would adjust.
That's a very general statement, but anyway. Yes.
But I wouldn't be like a rider come up and be like, hey, I think we should do this to the motor. 30 years ago, 50 years ago, for sure, when guys were building their own bikes to race and working on them themselves.
Well, I was going to say Moto America has had a number of teams where the rider is the engineer on the team, right?
Yes.
So,
but that's because it's a poorer sport here. I guarantee, right? Like, and I'm not trying to be an asshole about it. I'm just saying it's a poorer sport, and more guys worked on their bikes coming up. I guarantee you, I would lay $20 saying if you pulled Marquez into the garage and told him to change the oil on the Ducati race bike, he wouldn't even know where to grab the tools.
That's quite possible. That's quite possibly true.
Never changed oil on any bike he's ever ridden.
I wouldn't say that. That's a stretch. His personal bike, that he had when he was growing up. I will bet his father insisted that he maintained it.
Probably daddy was like, here, get out there. I see it at the tracks all the time.
Yeah, but it's not true that they all don't know that. I would say at Mark Marquez's level, of course, he doesn't twist a wrench ever.
Yeah, but right. I don't even think he's ever twisted a wrench on a personal bike.
Based on what?
Well, wait a minute. You know, it's just like you got that much money. Are you going to go out and twist the wrench on your own vehicles?
He didn't have that much money when he was 10 years old. I guarantee you.
But that's my point, right? My point is like, I would take feedback. Hey, is it pushing? Is it sticking? Is it loose in? Is it tight out? Whatever. I would take the feedback from what you can learn riding. Hey, it's riding rough. Hey, I'm not getting grip. Mm-hmm. Something like that. But to be like, hey, pick an engine or hey, what suspension do you want this week? No, those guys shouldn't be making that decision.
Again, you know, again, that's you're kind of making my point. I don't think Ducati should have them making that decision.
I can't argue that, but
none of the other teams, none of the other teams do that. It's a Ducati thing, and
but if generally there's do it,
and generally and generally, from what I've been able to that it's very rare for a team to have three choices anyway. Usually, there's going to be either you run the 2025 spec motor, or you run the 2026 spec motor, and that's it.
And well, and that's part of the problem is that the 24 motor is based still
on
good.
How the, and the decision is based on how the testing of the motor goes. You know, is the motor more robust than, you know, the older motor, or less, you know, reliable, that kind of stuff. And there's, you know, those decisions are not something a rider has to do. A rider says, yeah, I rode it for a while and it blew up. Okay, you know, I mean, that's it. I'll take the one that doesn't blow up.
Right? I mean, yeah. There's your answer.
Yeah. That's what I think, too.
That's the good thing about the Ducati. None of those 4.3 engines have really have a history of blowing up.
They occasionally.
Unless you're Bagnaia.
Yeah, they occasionally.
Bagnaia is going to be like, I'll take pedals.
Yeah, right. Well, because Bagnaia's bike's the only bike that has that special red button. It says blow now. Okay. So that's it.
When he comes around and he gets that little flashing light, you know, usually it says, you know, come in or long lap. He gets one that says, prepare to blow up.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get back to the mystery on why Mark Marquez didn't want to pick the motor. He never had the choice before, by the way, in his career, he's never had the choice before.
There's no upside to doing it.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Warren. I'm sorry.
That's one theory.
I don't think there's any upside for it. If he picks it and wins, they'll say, well, he got the best motor. If he picks it and loses, then it's all his fault.
Because he picked the wrong motor.
Yeah.
unless the guy with the same motor beats him in a championship, right?
No, but even well, then he picked a motor that was more friendly to Alex, or a motor that was more friendly to
Or Alex is allowed to pick the motor that's better for him than for Mark.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And he may say, I'll throw out something. I'm not saying this is true. So Alex decides that.
You might as well say it's true. We don't care.
I can make up whether it's true or not. Okay. Let's just say it's true because Phil said it's true. Okay. So Alex wants a motor with more grunt coming out of a turn, right? He doesn't care as much about top speed, but he wants that grunt coming out of the turn. Mark might think, I want the bike that's got better engine braking going into a turn. I want it to have grunt, but it's not my number one thing, right? So they each have things that they think is going to give an advantage to them. If that was the case and you had the choice, most people would say, oh, I'm going to pick what's going to be best for me because...
Okay.
I want to win the championship.
I have a
good or bad, whether it's a good decision or not, you're going to pick what you think is going to give you an advantage. Don't you think every rider looks for an advantage where they can get it?
I'm going to give you a real simple answer on that.
Yeah.
Right? Real simple. Mark is a phenomenal rider and has no idea how he does it.
Well, listen, you know,
I've raced
natural ability. Like yeah,
right. He's got all the talent in the world, and can't fix it. And there was nothing about it. Just sticks and it just works for him, and he doesn't care because he doesn't know what he likes because he doesn't pay attention because his main focus is his turn is hitting his marks that he discovered during practice.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a different viewpoint based on things he said. That he said, the most important thing he said when he went through his trials at HRC, he said the most important thing is to ride the way he wants to ride is he needs to feel the edge. He needs to know how far he can push, and that's what he lost at Honda. Okay. It wasn't top speed, wasn't the issue.
Okay, so
it was not being able to feel the limit.
All right. I have my opinions. How do you think you find the edge? What part
the
of
bike the gives bike? You signals? The bike gives you signals. He said that's what it was lost. The suspension.
Right. Number one thing is
Yeah, okay. It's not the engine. It's not the engine.
We weren't talking about the engine just right now, okay?
Yes,
we were. I'm saying is you said that he doesn't have any idea how he does as good as he does. I think he does know, okay. And he knows is because he's very good. Once he learns where the limit is, to keep himself right inside that.
Okay, and that has nothing to do with the engine.
I agree. It's got nothing to do with the engine, but don't think he doesn't know. Don't think he doesn't know how he's successful, because I think he does.
I was just throwing it out as a possibility. Right? Mm-hmm.
But the engine does come into play. Okay, it does come into play. Engine characteristics do affect how bikes corner. So it all, you know, front to back, everything has plays a part. Suspension, frame flex, all these different things, preload, engine acceleration, engine braking, all those things do affect. But I don't think this is my theory, and it can be completely wrong, right? He doesn't want to make a choice that potentially could put his brother at a disadvantage.
Well, if he is, he's not the type guy you thought he was before.
I
haven't talked to my sisters in 6 years. Blood has nothing to do with
that. Yeah, but I think he's very, very close to his brother.
No, he's 15 seconds ahead of him every week.
or a minute.
I didn't say he doesn't want to beat him. But he doesn't want anybody else. But he doesn't want anybody else to beat him. Do you see where I'm coming from?
That's even worse.
Not based on your philosophy. Not based on your philosophy.
He's the worst brother ever.
Oh God. No, Phil, you won that title long ago.
So you're saying that you're advocating for a shake and bake kind of season.
Right. Ken thinks it's shake and bake. Hey Ricky,
here you go. I told you I gave you my opinion.
One time I won. No, that'd be ridiculous.
Anyway, that was it. I did not think this conversation would go this long. So, but there you go. That's what I wanted to bring up. So I brought it up. Hey, now it's nap time for Ken.
Can I win this race? No, that'd be ridiculous. How would you win and I win? We can't have two winners. Right?
No, you could be the first loser, right?
Shake and bake.
Yep.
If he was that worried about that, Bagnaia wouldn't have a ride right now. And I don't care what the MotoGP rules are. When MotoGP Jesus wants something, they've changed the rules for him before.
They have changed the rules for him before. That is true. I can't argue that point. But I don't think in this case,
brother.
I don't think in this case they would, because that was the decision that they made was specifically to lock down Acosta.
I don't think they'd break the contract rule.
After they've. Because they'd get one hell of a lawsuit, I'm sure, coming from Pedro Acosta.
No. They would just be like, hey, no, they'd Ben Spiesum. Well, you could sue us or you could sit.
Well, but remember, Ben Spies, that was after the fact, because he watched Mark Marquez coming after him and get in his first season, right?
I'm sure there was somebody else who was like, hey, I'd like to be a rookie on a bike, and they said no. On a factory team, they're like, no, you're not Mark Marquez.
They only changed the rules.
They said, and the reason we don't talk about that guy is because they're like, yep, it's a privilege to race here, not a right.
Dorna's history is they only changed the rule for the next season for the person they like, not the same season. Yes.
Right.
Yep.
I'm just saying, right, and next season's coming up.
I'm kind of sorry I brought this whole thing up.
Why?
I didn't want to eat a whole show with it. That's what I did.
Did.
We now have Moto America news that's going to be 3 weeks behind, but whatever. We'll talk about that.
It gets better with age.
There's an announcement today, too, that I'm sure you guys didn't see because you're too busy worried about whether Mark Marquez loves his brother or not. I don't know. A-type personality, but he doesn't want anybody beating his... Whatever. Every older brother I know is like, hey,
let's have my opinion.
Friends jump him.
I stand by my opinion.
Do you have any older brothers?
I fart in your general direction.
And Glagaman knows that you.
And you smell like Eldenberries.
I wear the private parts at your auntie. Such a great movie. Anyways, this has been the Doghouse here on ndnradio.com. We'll be back next week. We're also on Spotify. Follow, like, subscribe, all that stuff on Spotify. Help us out a little.